have your fear, which might become reality. And you have Godzilla, which is reality.
I'm sick of Godzilla.
Wake up, everyone!
There are two things you don't know about the Earth.
No human being can understand that. The monsters on Monster Island can understand it.
Whether he returns or not, or is never again seen by human eyes, the things he has taught us remain.
Everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Monster Island Live, technically the second one because Ryan's here. Yes, the great Ryan Wilhelm is here. Hello, everybody. I know you look at this and you say, hey, who are these guys? Because the only one I know is the tattooed titan of Tokusatsu, Jacob Walsh. But our fearless leader, unfortunately or fortunately, is just getting back from a huge vacation across the Atlantic in the United Kingdom. And so he needed a day off, a night off, and that's okay. We'll allow it. But I got two rock stars in for him. The great Ryan Wilhelm, who everybody knows. He is everyone's favorite kaiju collector and a fellow Texan. And then our special guest down here, we have, guys, this is awesome because not only is he an IDW cover artist for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for Transformers Beast Wars, not only has he done official merch for Sony and Ghost Corps for Ghostbusters, he is multiple covers for Godzilla, Monsters and Protectors, All Hail the King. He is all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, the great John Yerkeba. How's it going, John?
I'm doing very well, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy. I was talking to Jake after the last recording that we did, and we're like, you know, John hasn't been on our show. And it's like, you almost are like too low-hanging a fruit. It's like he's obviously done a lot of stuff with YHS. He's done official Godzilla stuff, and he loves Tokusatsu, he loves Ultraman, he loves Kamen Rider, he loves a lot of the stuff that we like, but it's like, oh yeah, we haven't had him on the show yet. I'm like, oh.
I fly way too low under the radar.
Ryan, how's it going with you, man?
Hey man, it's going. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you lovely gentlemen this evening. We're going to be talking about Ultraman and all kinds of awesome stuff that you know I love and I'm stoked about, so should be a fun show.
Hey, Brayton, how's it going, dude? And oh, guess who's here? The legend, the ambassador of the kaiju himself,
Mr. David.
How's it going? And Dave, thanks for the shout out today. I collect all monsters. I really do appreciate it. On the Facebook group. I do appreciate it. But hey, real quick. Now, I know we did a little bit of intro with you, John, but I would love for you to give a little spiel about what you've been doing, how people can find you before we get into kind of the nitty gritty of kaiju talk. Because like I said, you are a special guest for us.
tis true.
Well, thank you. I have been busy, especially these past couple months. It's con season, so I've been doing a lot of events. I literally, like, this past weekend just did the big Phoenix Fan Fusion here in Phoenix. And that was a lot of fun. I got to be amongst a lot of really cool people who are attending, a lot of other really cool artists, and kind of soak it in. And I still catch myself pinching myself that I'm looking around at certain people and being like, oh, I'm not just the fanboy anymore. Like, these are my colleagues. And it feels so weird. But it's honestly, I couldn't be happier to be doing what I'm doing. And I'm staying busy. I'm doing stuff. Ghostbusters Day is tomorrow. So I'm going to have some cool stuff to offer to the people, to fellow ghost heads tomorrow. So got that coming up. But in general, like, if people want to see more stuff for me, the stuff that I'm sharing that's just like, hey, look at what I drew recently, they can follow me on any social media. And the name is just at John Yerkeba 4. So
nice. I can't believe we got you on Ghostbusters Day Eve. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just been one thing after another, but I'm more than happy to make time to be here. I'm glad to be here.
Nice. Well, one of the other cool things this timing worked out is we talked about this in the last YHS on Monster Island. We talked about you, John, because you are going to be one of our special guests at a little event that we're running down in Fort Worth in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in August called Kaiju Go. And and we were super pumped that you were able to make it. I know, like you said, you're doing cons every weekend. You're Kevin Eastman's favorite artist, apparently. You know, I saw that all over social media.
Yes, that happened. It's surreal.
Dude, that's awesome.
Isn't it? It is so cool. And so we're super pumped to have you. And real quick, for those that don't know, we have one. I have a little another announcement for Kaiju Go. And we're going to do it really right here before it gets we get into the other stuff. So real quick, I'm going to share some slides. And that's one thing that those that watch YHS and Monster Island know, I love me some slides. So I'm going to add something out. So Kaiju Go, August 26th. It's going to be a celebration of the Kaiju fandom and what we call our three pillars with the kind of the convergence point, the films. So we have a double feature running. We have Mothra versus Godzilla, my favorite Godzilla film. I mean, we get a little Takarada, a little Koizumi, some Sahara, some Tajima, the greatest cast of all time. And then, like I said, my favorite Showa era. I think it's just quintessential golden era Toho. And then we're going to finish that off with the birthday boy, Godzilla versus Megalon, and it'll be a really cool double feature. And of course, we're going to have the toys. I mean, you got to have films, you got to have the toys. I'm going to be there with a ton of Sifubi goodness, but we also have Chance Priest, who is a legend down here in the Southwest, in his art toys, his folk art toys, his kind of bootleg art toys, Warriors of the Universe, which are just some of the most sought after toys out there. We'll talk about Chazbro later, but we also got Michael Morse, who I think he's at 5 points this weekend. He's a local guy, and his Hedera and Godzilla, Big Boji, and his Yakultra Man, and all of his Smoggy stuff is so good, and he's going to be there. And then, you know, Toy Matrix he's at G-Fest every year. Gary brings some really cool stuff. And so we have the toys covered. We have the films. So that third pillar is going to be the art. And yes, next to John. So in between the films, we're going to have an interview with John Yerkeba and all of the great stuff that he's done with Monsters and Protectors, All Hail the King. But next to him will be the legend himself, 9-time Hugo Award winning, one of the greatest science fiction and fantasy artists really ever. The great Bob Eggleton will be there. And here's another little thing. Interviewing these two, the man in the middle, the guy that's going to be moderating this is going to be Mr. Ryan Wilhelm, everyone's favorite kaiju collector. So we're super pumped. He'll be get to interview two of the stars of really just Godzilla art in general and kaiju art. And so super, super pumped about that. And also, I picked Ryan because, you know, he's notoriously just an evil and mean guy because Bob and John are two of the nicest human beings of all time. And it's going to be like a dice off. And we need somebody in there, you know, to like cuss at him and stuff. And that's Ryan.
Oh, man. I have to balance it out, man. Yeah.
But the other
thing I'm ready for it.
We didn't stop at just John and Bob. We also have in the gallery, Bob's wife, Marianne, is a wonderful artist. She'll be bringing some of her Mothra prints. And then David LeGrand is going to be there because he's doing some really cool vinyl toys. So he fits in the toys part of it with his nasty noggins. But this dude he does the comic art for The Simpsons and SpongeBob and Garfield. And he's done design work for Uncle Grandpa. I mean, the guy he's right up there with John and Bob and could, you know, headline any show. And he's just going to be hanging out in the gallery, in the art and the toy gallery. So it's going to be really cool. And then, of course, Chance that I mentioned before, he's going to be there representing Victory Comics and Warriors of the Universe. So, yeah. And also, Johnny, 100%. Ryan brings that spice like Dune, man. I mean, he is just crazy. Yes, Chaz. Chaz knows what's up. Hey, Chaz, we're going to be talking about you in a little bit. So
stay tuned, brother. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But anyway, guys, like if you're in the area, hey, if you're not and you want to come and hang out with us, I'm so pumped because we got Mothra versus Godzilla, Godzilla versus Megalon, Bob Eggleton, John Yerkeba, and some of the best toy vendors in the area. It's going to be a really, really, really cool night. And it's in this really cool 1920s theater that's been renovated. There's two bars. Guys, you got to have a good time. And we have some more surprises in store. But yeah, I'm super pumped about it. And thank you guys for indulging me doing a little Kaiju Go. So go check out kaijugo.com. Yeah.
I'm getting my tickets right now.
We are going to charge you. You do have to pay admission.
Don't.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. John, I won't tell you, John, how much he paid us. Basically, your appearance is covered by Ryan's.
I got it. It's all good.
What?
Well, hey, man. Typically, what we do here, and we're going to get to our main topic in a bit, which is Ultraman, the final season, season 3. John, we brought you in because you're an anime expert. You love Ultraman. Ryan, you love Ultraman. I love Ultraman. So we're going to – it's a great panel. I think there's going to be a lot of love today and maybe a little bit of critique because, you know, we are trying to do our jobs. Just a little. But before that, we always like to ask, what else have we been watching? What other kaiju-adjacent monster stuff have you been watching? And Ryan, I'm going to start with you because we've been talking about John way too much. So we'll go to you.
So I don't know if anyone else was able to partake, but on May the 31st, a little film called Shin Kamen Rider hit theaters. And man, I'm still picking my jaw up off the floor, to be honest. I absolutely loved the film. I know a lot of people have a different take, and that's totally cool, man. That's what makes our community awesome, right?
Yeah.
But that film blew my mind, and I cannot wait to see it again. I can't wait to talk about it with people that have seen it because I've been very quiet. I don't want to spoil anything, but like, whoa, dude, Shin Kamen Rider. If you haven't seen Shin Kamen Rider, figure out a way to see it now, guys. Yeah. Whoa. So yeah, that's I've been watching Shin Kamen Rider. Yeah.
And John, you saw it too, right? You saw it as well, right?
Yeah, I actually saw it. They had two screenings. So they had the one on the 31st and then they showed it again on the 5th here. And so I went to that one after I wrapped up the convention. And that was kind of my post-convention Bug Hero double feature because I saw that and then I saw Across the Spider-Verse. And both totally different films, but I adored both of them. And Shin Kamen Rider was a ride. Like there was stuff that happened in that I was like, what? And it was so much fun. And I've been watching all the, all the series and stuff like that to kind of get excited for it and everything. I've also been watching, because I've spent so much time here at my desk drawing. Mm-hmm. It's hard sometimes to watch as much of the stuff as I would like to watch because a lot of it involves subtitles, which is totally cool. And I love that, but I spend so much time drawing, it's hard to balance like drawing and reading the subtitles. So I'm always appreciative when something is dubbed, and they have been releasing episodes of Ultraman Z on YouTube. So I've been watching that, and it's been a lot of fun. So I highly recommend you don't need to have any prior knowledge of Ultraman to get into that. If you want to watch some of the like live action tokusatsu and see what that's all about, I highly recommend going on YouTube and checking that out.
So you're such a big Ultraman fan. When are you going to start doing some covers for the mangas and stuff over there? Come on, dude. Come on. Are you not trying, John?
And Marvel has the American license too. So I'm just saying, Ultraman, Kamen Rider, I'm pretty sure, I think there's a, I forget which Kamen Rider, but there's a American Kamen Rider comic too. So like they're both here. They're both getting stuff stateside. Like, put me in, coach. You know what I'm saying?
Tag my guy in now.
There is an Ultraman-related project that is forthcoming from a certain publisher. That it's not a storytelling thing. It's not a comic book. But I do have some artwork that is involved with it. And I'll say that. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but I think I can say that. So that's cool.
No worries. Hey, believe me, when that comes... when it becomes official and it's out there, we will make sure to talk about it a lot on this channel. Yeah. So I'm super pumped, man. That's awesome. I know you're such a big Ultraman fan. That's one of the things when I first met you, we bonded over that. And I just, I could see you doing some really cool stuff with that property and your style. Yeah. I think it could be really neat. But that's cool, man. I didn't know that. I'm really a Showa era Ultra guy, and I haven't dabbled in a lot of the more recent stuff, and I need to do that. Same with Kamen Rider, and I know some of them are just amazing. But hey, I also saw Shin Kamen Rider, and I hate to be kind of like an echo, but I'm right there with you. It totally
yes.
It was just like
so good. It's fun.
What?
I was like, it was insane, right?
Like in a good way.
Exactly.
And it was not what I had a feeling of those three that they've, with obviously Shin Godzilla, it's been around for a while now, but of Ultraman and Kamen Rider, like of the two, like if one of them went a little bit more I wasn't expecting that type. It was going to be Kamen Rider. I mean, it 100%. Oh, yeah, sure. And I just happened to watch, like, before that, I was watching some of just a few select my favorite episodes from the OG. And man, Kamen Rider, the original Kamen Rider series, is so good. I'm sorry. Really, I mean, Takeshi really Hongo is like my hero, dude. I love that guy.
Yes.
I mean,
It was fun, and we don't have to get too into it, but one of my favorite things was at the end, if you stay after the credits and they show the stuff from the original series.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to have just watched the movie and then see so many of those same scenes or like where they got that inspiration from in the old version and see that play off of each other and hear the theme song. And it was a great night at the movies. I'll put it that way for sure.
That's awesome. Exact way I would say it, dude. It was a fun movie, you know, nothing more, nothing less. It was just what a fun movie, you know?
Yeah. And you know, for me, and this is a little probably different from, I know for you, John, especially just being such a big Kamen Rider fan, like for me, like I like Kamen Rider, but like the lore and the history and the mythos is not like it is with Godzilla or some other properties that I'm just like, you know, if there was a live action Dino Riders movie, I mean, I would be like, I would have the whole thing planned out in my head before I go there. Right. Kamen Rider, I went in with like a total blank slate. I was like, I don't know what this is going to be. Like, I really like, who knows? I don't know. Tone and everything. I was like, just surprised me. And I think that was one of the more fun times I've had at the theater recently because I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't like, I didn't have a good idea or handle of what it was going to be like. Like when we went to go see, you know, Godzilla versus Kong, we've seen enough MonsterVerse to know like, okay, like, for better or for worse, like you kind of know, like there's a sweet spot that they're going after, right?
Yeah.
Ever since King of the Monsters, because I know that's a little bit different than 2014. But like Shin Kamen Rider, like, I mean, especially having just watched Shin Ultraman not too long ago, like so different.
Yeah.
And that's what was so great about it. So yeah, highly recommend when it does come out on Blu-ray. I forgot if they've released the distribution for Kamen Rider, if when it's going to hit. They haven't yet.
Not yet for Kamen Rider, but Shin Ultraman July 11th. Yes.
That's coming up.
Right on.
That's awesome. Well, I didn't watch much else outside of obviously what we're going to talk about today. I did go to the theater, I guess, 2 weeks ago, like right after I recorded the last one. And I actually went to the theater that Kaiju Go is going to be in because they were doing an awesome screening of Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, the third of the Sinbad trilogy with Ray Harryhausen and Patrick Wayne, the son of John, I think the second oldest son of John Wayne. He was there in person, 83 years old. And he was there to talk just about what it was like to film that and you kind of be John Wayne's son and that whole thing. And you know, he was in like McClintock and stuff. I mean, the guy's been in like everything, like 80 films, I think. And it was kind of cool to see him there at 83 talking about Sinbad. He knew nothing about sci-fi fantasy or anything. And it was just, he was telling stories about like interacting with Ray Harryhausen and stuff. And it was kind of cool. And then we watched the film and seeing a Harryhausen flick on the big screen is kind of like seeing a Godzilla film on the big screen because, you know, most of us weren't alive to see them when they aired or when they were in the theaters. And so it was just so cool. But I it's my least favorite of the three Sinbad ones, but that's still a pretty high floor because I love all the Sinbad ones. And when you see the Smilodon, the saber-toothed cat going up against the Trog, I mean, that's just cool stuff. And the Minotaur, I mean, so many cool stuff. It made me want to go out and buy the Star Ace X Plus toys. It really did because I was like, this is amazing. That's all I've seen, man. I haven't watched anything else. I've been kind of just every free moment prepping for G-Fest or getting ready for YHS stuff or you name it. But yeah, so most of the time was Ultraman.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Wait,
sounds like a good time.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't complain. I can't complain. The next segment, we will do a little weekly pickups because, you know, we love weekly pickups. I almost did it twice. I love it so much. I almost did it twice. So, John, you're a special guest, and I know you are an artist, and that's your wheelhouse, but I heard a rumor that you have some pickups for us.
I do. I have a couple. So this was probably last Thursday. I was doing some last minute stuff just to get ready for the convention that was coming up. And I think I was in Target and I saw this and I knew I had to have it because it's from one of my favorite series. you guys might know that I'm a massive fan of Mobile Suit Gundam. This shelf right back here, I don't know if you can tell, but the bottom is all boxes for model kits, and then the rest of the shelves are all action figures and models from Gundam. So I had to pick this one up. It is the RX-78 GP-01 full Vernian. It's an action figure, so I was very excited to procure that.
I like that, the classic blue and yellow and red. I like that.
Yeah. It's from one of my favorite series, Mobile Suit Gundam 0083 Stardust Memory. So it's kind of like a half
rolls
sequel.
Off the tongue.
Yeah, half. It's like a half sequel to the original series, but then it's like a half prequel to the sequel series that came after. It's like an in-between kind of side story. The Gundam does a lot of that kind of stuff where it's like you'll have the big stuff that's like the original trilogy of Star Wars, and then they'll they'll have stuff that happens. It's like, oh, and this is like the sequel trilogy and the prequel trilogy, like the big moments. But then they'll go back and they'll do like a Rogue One style story. That's like, oh, here's us digging into this moment and
expanding out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got that.
Have you seen the toy? It's a Safubi Giga Brain that is Jaguar, which I know you love as well. Right. But done like inspired by Gundam, where he like basically has like, it's like a, I don't know if it's white or glow in the dark vinyl. Somebody can probably knows that, but it's like the red, the yellow, and the blue, and it's like the that inspired colorway. Awesome. But it's really cool. Every time I see it, I'm like, I think John needs that.
I think I might need that. If I see it, it might be coming home with me.
I know.
But yeah, that sounds amazing. So I got that. That was kind of like, as I was, peak anxiety, peak stress going into the convention, getting all my stuff together. I saw that and I was like, this will be like my stress relief. I'll put him on my desk and he'll remind me like, you got this. And then, we love conventions, right? You go to a convention, and maybe even more so than any toy store, or collectible store, or comic shop you have in town, it is just this concentrated place where so many different booths and stands have so many different things that you can get your hands on in person right there immediately that you wouldn't normally be able to, or at the very least you'd have to like go online and order it and wait weeks for it to show up and all that stuff. Right. So I knew that I had to get my hands on this. It was the one thing I always have a short list of things when I go into a convention, whether I'm there as an exhibitor or as just an attendee, as a fan, that I'm like, I would love to try and find these things. And I was lucky enough to have my dad with me for 2 days of this past convention, because exhibitors were allowed into the convention hall 2 hours before the public was. So we could make sure we were set up for the day and everything. And I told my dad I wanted this the first day of the convention. And as I was sitting at my table doing all of my art stuff, he made it his mission to like go around. And it's a massive convention. So he made it his mission to just go to all the booths that seem to have stuff and ask people like, hey, do you have this? So on the at the end of the first day, he came back and he said, I think I found someone who has it. So then the morning of the second day, before everything opened up to everyone else, we went over there and the guy had it, and I immediately picked it up and I was really excited to have it because I've been really enjoying the show. This is like the one subtitled thing that I have made it my mission to make time for, because I don't want to get behind on the series, because I'm able to watch the episodes shortly after they air in Japan on Crunchyroll. But from Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, I picked up the 1/100 scale full mechanics Gundam Aerial. So I'm very pumped for that.
That looks like that is highly detailed.
Yeah, you can kind of see on the side, if I can get it in front of the camera the right way, but I'm pretty pumped to put it together. And it was on my... Like I said, this was of the short list that I had, this was number one on it. And it was the only thing that I brought back from the con in terms of like buying stuff. And I'm totally okay with that, because I'm excited to spend some time with this one. So
it's one of those quantity and quality ones. And you definitely went quality over quantity. And I didn't know you were such a model kit guy. We have, on the Kaiju side, we have model kit royalty with the great David Dobko in the house. And I know
the one and only.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't know that you loved model kits so much.
Yeah, I haven't really built any. I built a couple of Ectos from Ghostbusters. But other than like Gundam was my big thing when I was a kid and I got into it. It was the same way a lot of people got into anime in like the early 2000s. You stay up late one night and you catch Toonami or Midnight Run or something. You're just like, what is this? And so for me, the thing that caught me was Gundam Wing. And just, I was 12. So I was at that precipice of like, all of my friends were starting to, you know, get into that mode of like, oh, cartoons are lame. Trick or treating is lame. We don't do that anymore. And then I saw Gundam Wing, and it was just like all of these in-depth conversations about politics and war and stuff. And it's animated. So I'm like, oh, well, here's proof I never have to stop liking this stuff. So there's in a very real way, like Gundam kept me on the path that I'm on now. And if I hadn't gotten into it, who knows where I'd be.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I've never stopped loving it. I as much as you guys might know that I love Ghostbusters, if like Ghostbusters and Gundam hold an equal place for me.
Wow.
So yeah, and it's been that way since I got into it, and I've always loved it. My dream vacation, my bucket list destination. I don't know if I'll make it in time to see the one that I want to see, but I want to go to Japan and I want to see the full size Gundams because they have the unicorn that's up, and I don't think that's going anywhere. But the moving one, the RX-78, is only going to be up, I think, for another year, or I think it comes down in March. So I don't know if I'll make it in time to see that one, but I absolutely want to go and at least see the unicorn. So,
or they can just ship it to Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, literally easy. Like we'll find a place for it.
The Gundam fan capital of the US is Phoenix. Everybody knows that.
Exactly. For sure.
Oh, hey, real quick, John, you got a question from Brayton. He asked, how long does it take to put something like that together and paint it?
Oh, it depends. So the cool thing about Gundam is there's different skill levels. They have entry grade, which is just a real quick thing to like snap it out of the frames and put it together. They have high grade, which I've got a couple of the ones on the shelf over there, high grade. They have master grade, which is the next step up where you can kind of like take, like before you put all the finishing armor on the outside, there's actual interior mechanics you can build. And then they also have perfect grade, which is as detailed as it gets when it comes to Gundam models. And it's literally like you are building that thing as if it was real. And this is how it would look if it was like real world. They're building the insides and the robotics and everything of it. So it really depends. This one is, I don't think it actually has a grade level. It's full mechanics. So I think it's probably somewhere between a high grade and a master grade. So probably a few hours. You know, it's not, wow. At least to put it together. And then depending on how detailed you want to get with painting, it's, you know, it varies.
Man, and I complain about having to get the hairdryer out to just put a tail on Godzilla.
Not again.
Yeah. Hey, God love you, man. That's, hey, I know, would be the world's worst model builder. Totally.
The Gundam fans, and especially they call Gundam plastic models, they just shorten it to Gunpla. But Gunpla builders are notorious for having backlogs because they will just buy kits and kits and kits and then like take their time getting to building them. And I had one kit that I was sitting on that I just have not sat down to build because it's a pretty complex one, but I've had it for like a year now. And I was like, well, it's just one. I'm not calling that a backlog. That's just something that's on my to-do list. But now I have two. And I feel like it's kind of like that whole thing where it's like, if you have one, you just have one. But if you have two, now it's a collection. I feel like now that I have two, it is a backlog. So I'm like, oh, God, I'm becoming one of them.
Now you have to nature the backlog.
Yeah.
Feed the backlog.
I know, right? Like at this point, like I've crossed that line. So it's like, oh, whatever, I'll just buy more now.
Yeah, the next time we talk to you, you're going to have a whole room dedicated to nothing but open exactly. Model kits.
100%, yeah.
Those are some awesome pickups, dude.
Thank you.
I'm glad, I think you have officially, I think I can put a stake in it. I think this is official. The first time anybody's ever shown off anything Gundam during one of our weekly pickups. So you're trailblazer, my friend.
Yeah, I will say that, oh, wow. Hey, good for her, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I will say that the one other thing that I came close to buying, but I just couldn't justify the fundage for it. I did find a vendor that had the singular point Jet Jaguar, like the final form of it. And I like walked up to that vendor every day and just like stared at that thing. And I was like, I want to, I shouldn't. I really should. I want to, I shouldn't. And I ended up not pulling the trigger, but I don't know if I'm going to let that happen again. So if I ever see another one, I might just have to jump on it. Cause I felt okay about leaving it there just cause like, you know, I didn't want to make a dumb decision financially, but how many other times in your life are you going to see one of those just like in your face, right? Yeah. Where you could just reach out and grab it and be like, I'll take this. Thank you. So if
was
I have
the,
another,
was it the Monster Arts one? Was it the SH
yeah,
Monster Arts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I saw that and I was like, ugh, cause that is, if I had all the money in the world, there's so many Kaiju and Godzilla and just Ultraman, everything figures that I would love. But like I said, in the back of my head, I always have this short list of like, okay, but if I can only have one or if I can only have like a small amount, I would love to have the Jet Jaguar and the Godzilla Ultima from Singular Point. Cause I love that anime so much. And
it's so funny you mentioned that, John, because I literally before, and I'm sure some other people that'll listen to this as well. Like this morning we got our updates on some of us that got the Godzilla Ultima X Plus, the 25 centimeter, the large monster series one.
Yeah.
It just shipped. So I should have it this week.
Oh,
at some point.
Awesome.
So I did. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any of the jet stuff, but they haven't done it when if they do an X Plus final form jet, I'm getting it for sure.
Oh my gosh.
But I did get the Ultima. I'm really excited. I love that design, and I know it's like, it's so cool. To me, I'm a little bit, what I'm finding out, I'm a little bit of the minority and John, I think you're with it. And actually, right. I don't know about you. I haven't actually ever had this conversation with you about Singular Point, but, Jake and I were chatting about this. A lot of folks, like, I think there was a lot of like positivity when it first came out. And then some people maybe like lessened on it. I actually, as I've rewatched it, I've actually like it more. I liked it a lot right out of the gate. So I'm actually a Singular Point guy. I like it a lot. I think it's really cool. Ryan, were you on the I hate it or the I love it bandwagon? I can't remember.
Neither.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Curveball. I've gotten through episode 3. Uh-huh. I have not finished it.
Oh, okay, good.
Just
okay.
Because okay. New dad at the time, crazy things, life, you know. Sure. I just haven't finished it. It's number one with a bullet on my to-do list, though, nice. Because I've heard it's super polarizing.
You've got to come over, and then we'll just, like, lock you in this room. I'll lock you in there, and then I'll say, watch the rest of these episodes. Yeah. And we'll send, you know, we'll send your wife and your daughter out for dinner or something. Like, no, Ryan has to watch
this. We'll cover you. You've got dedicated time to just get it done.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Those are great pickups, John. How about you, Ryan? What'd you get?
Ooh, okay. So I got a box from the Tokyo Toy Bastard, who has now changed his YouTube handle, by the way, Tokyo Toy Banzai. So check that out.
No relation to Buckaroo.
No, but a beautiful M1 Biollante.
Nice.
Translucent. This is one of my favorite versions of Biollante. It's just a really cool classic piece. Yeah. M1 is always good stuff.
Yeah. I'm so excited they're going to be at G-Fest this year.
Me too.
I shouldn't be saying that because I'm vending there and I'm, you know, just taking my money. I will be basically like every sale that I make, I'm just going to be taking that money and walking it over to M1. Like, I want that and that and that.
I'll be right there with you. That was the same thing I was worried about doing at this past convention. Like I said, I would sell a couple prints and then be like, there's another Gundam that I want.
right? You tell
M1
me
one is actually, everything.
It doesn't cost any money. It just you have to go buy that Gundam and you will do a trade. That Gundam,
exactly.
Commission.
That one right there, and that one. Then I got one more. This is a big heavy hitter, but I saw that Kyle was posting it, and so I knew it came from a good home, and I figured, you know what, now is the time to get it if I'm going to. So Akamen Tenshi. Zombie-la Inferno. And I'm normally not a big fan of the whole muscle everything, but this is like Godzilla when he dies because it's, you know, the burning Godzilla.
The colorway,
so it works for me, man. But this thing is heavy duty. What a piece.
Yeah. His stuff is, I mean, it's ridiculous. And in a good way, like that's a positive way. There's a guy here. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but he's a buddy, and his name's John Allred. He's in the Collect All Monsters. He has about 15.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
And every time I look at him, I'm like, oh my gosh. Because some of his are like the, you know, like the $1,300 ones, like the, you know, the really expensive ones. Like, but it's so cool. But right, congrats, Ryan. That's a huge pickup. That's like a centerpiece.
It is. It's in the middle of my collection. It's crazy. And then, of course, we're going to get there, but The creme de la creme. The creme de la creme.
Oh, we'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second. I'll go. I had a light week. So I saw some people in the chat asking about my 89s, and I'll have to put an asterisk on this one. So I'm at 74. I have six that were supposed to be here last week. We're having some issues, and along with, let's say, about 100 new items for G-Fest 2 for Tokyo Toy Town. And we have some shipping issues, and some claims have been made from both my supplier in Japan and myself. So I'm hoping they arrive soon. But there are six new ones. So when they arrive, and I don't have any other in the pipeline, I'll be up to the hashtag 8989s will be at 80. It's only nine more to go. And then I'll have 89 Marison 350s of Godzilla 1989.
That's amazing.
I know, right? It's taken on a life of its own. I'm really excited. And then I have made the decision that once new, because you know, the dude's going to release like 600 of them. I am going to be, it'll be one in, one out, because I don't want to go over 89. I want it to stay at 89, but maybe I can get rid of some of my lesser favorites to get some of the colorways when they come in. But I had a light week, man. I just had two pickups, and one is actually not a toy, but you know, we don't have rules here. It's Kaiju Collectible, and it's Ultra related. It's Tokusatsu related, and it's my favorite in the Ultra series, Ultra 7.
Oh,
and
nice.
If you remember, friend of the podcast, I think right up there on the up in the that Godzilla artist Mount Rushmore, the great Tom Whalen, did all the prints for Mondo. Well, he released one of his prints through Nakatomi, an Austin-based company. Also, I guess Mondo was Austin-based too. Wow, funny. Tom Whalen loves him some Austin, I guess. Anyway, Austin-based company Nakatomi did a release of his Ultra 7 55th anniversary, which looks exactly like his Ultraman one, but they're inverted. So you can, I'm going to do hang mine together. So I have it here. I don't think I can. I did the foil edition. I don't think I can fit it in the screen, but it's this one.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, when I got it, I was just like singing 7-7.
I was just same. I was like, oh, 7-7.
And that's something we'll talk about in a bit, how Dan Moriboshi was captured and represented in the anime. It's a very interesting take. And then I got one other little thing, and I've been eyeballing this one. It's in the world of Marmot, it's not by any means a super rare one. It's not one that's like highly sought after, but it's a 2001 San Diego Comic-Con release of our boy Megalon, and it's the weird green, red, and blue colorway. So I did pick him up. And I just love the chunky Marmot, the Marmot sculpt of Megalon here. So I love this guy. So that's it. And then the big news, Ryan and I have a good buddy. He's a sponsor for Kaiju Go. Great designer. We've all kind of become friends here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, going to these vintage toy shows, talking designer vinyl and Sofubi and all this good stuff. And Kaiju fan. And he, you know, a lot of us say, hey, we have a good idea for a toy. We can do this. And then he actually went out and made one. And he's made a few. And his first official release was this week. I was honored at Tokyo Toy Town to be able to sell one of the first lots. And, I mean, we sold a lot in like the first like 3 hours. It was ridiculous. Nice. Because it's really cool. And so Chaz of Chaz Bro Toys, this amazing piece here. And I'll show for everybody because they're kind of, you know, they're 5 inches tall. But just make sure you get a good clear view here of Bang Kong, these cool Sofubi like primitive idol type things of this gorilla ape god banging on a drum, and yes
all
and,
about the booty,
and there's like 50 different colorways, and
that's awesome.
They're just so awesome. We have a few left at Tokyo Toy Town, but if we don't like the colorways that we have, you're crazy. But if you don't, you can go to Chaz Bro Toys, which is Chaz Bro with a Z _ toys on Instagram, and just talk to Chaz directly, and he'll get you some good stuff, man. He has some really awesome ones. Let me see here. I think I have a photo that has, I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Oh, there it is. So there's a nice little view of some of the colorways there. Look at this, guys. I mean, so good.
That's so cool.
And as somebody that has a lot of, you know, we'll call it indie vinyl toys, when you look at them, a lot of them look beautiful. When you have them in your hand, like, some feel different. Some feel like it's a Marmot. Some feel like, you know, it's a 3D printed thing. And that's not what this is. This is legit. Like, it feels quality. Like, yeah, it's really good quality. The paint is awesome. And Ryan and I are lucky enough to know kind of what he has coming down the pipeline, which is different than Ben Kong. It's going to blow your socks off, man. It's going to be really cool. I'm excited to see where Chazbro Toys goes over the next couple of years. I have no doubt it's going to be up there with the Spumoni's and the Rocoms and stuff of the world if Chaz wants to, because it's really that good.
I agree.
And I took the one with the Toki Toy Town colors. So yeah. I don't know if this is a one of one, but I'm going to tell everybody it is to sound even extra special. But yeah, so go to Chazbro Toys' Instagram and stay tuned to what he's going to be releasing. And then, of course, if you're in Dallas or Fort Worth, come to Kaiju Go, because we're going to have some of these Ben Kongs there in person to snatch up. They're awesome. Yeah. Okay, is that all our pickups? That's all we did. We just got some model kits and Ryan got it. Yeah, he got a zombie lob. Nothing. Okay. Wait, we do have a little bit of toy news, and we're gonna go rapid fire. I mean, actually, all of our news is toy related, which is, you know, awesome. But we'll do that here in 1 second. Okay, toy news. I love me some Gilala. Yes. Okay, real quick. No, Johnny. No. Yeah, we got some toy news. We'll go rapid fire, but we've been doing kind of an update every YHS on Monster Island for good buddies over at Titanic Creations, because we love Gorgo. They are, other than the M1 Safubi, you know, they're releasing kind of the first licensed Gorgo product out there. And I am happy to say, guys, they sold out. Nice. They did it. All 814 Gorgos are sold. And that includes, they hit all 5 stretch goals. So you're getting actual Gorgo, baby Gorgo, along with Mama Gorgo, the Bell Sub. You're getting the Jet. You're getting Big Ben. And you're getting the light up eyes on top of 26 points of articulation. On top of the amazing box with art done by the great Matt Frank. Like, this is amazing. So I'm super pumped for them. Congratulations. I hope they do. And they have the Gorgo plushie as well. I hope they get some licenses to the Reptilicuses of the world and stuff and do more of this great stuff. Super excited for this to be in hand, but congrats to Titanic Creations and yay Gorgo.
That's Gorgo, awesome. Woo!
Yeah, I'm excited to actually have this hand because I saw the I know they've gone to a couple conventions and shows, and they've released they've had the actual prototype there. And I don't know, man, I'm pumped. I am pumped. So that's it. Just want to mention that we don't have to do the update anymore because hey, they sold all of them. It feels, maybe I'm jaded by kind of being on the outskirts and kind of with the side eye looking at some of these like HasLabs and these other crowdfunding things. And they never hit all the stretch goals, it seems like, except for a few. And then this one comes out, bam, stretch goal, hit all 5. So great. Nice. It just took Gorgo, man. Who knew? But anyway, we have some other stuff. I want to talk about some other friends of ours. And you know, we know, we love AJ at Kaiju Live, and we know that he has, a stake in this, and, what a great thing they've done. Spiral Toy, which is kind of an offshoot of, you know, Spiral Studios, which does the big, and we'll talk about them in a little bit, but these amazing, gigantic, huge, beautiful pieces. They went Safubi route. Oh no, look who's here.
Whoa!
Let him in here.
Yes!
I thought you were in England, man.
What's up? Why do you always go live when I'm not on the show?
Did you see that Jaws Lego?
we just don't trust you, Jake, live. We see what you do in your other live shows. So we said, you know what, we'll just wait till you're gone.
Are you sure you're not thinking about Ryan?
Oh, yes.
Ryan.
No, yeah, not that Ryan. Yeah, we're perfect timing, man. We were just about to talk about Spiral Toy Artisan Dynasty. And
okay.
You know, we know AJ, we know Kaiju Live and their stake, and we know how wonderful they are. But I promise you, if we didn't love this, we wouldn't be talking about it. Or we would talk about it in truth. This thing is amazing. And we've seen them hint this in the other colorways, a lot of shows, I think Wonderfest, some other things. But this officially went for pre-order. 10 inches tall, $225. I got to ask Jake and Ryan, Did you guys pick this up and pre-order it?
I did, yeah.
Yes, 100%. I did as well.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. John, go do it now, dude. There's
hey, I feel like I need to. I don't want to break the streak.
Yeah, I am. On top of all the on top of the fact that we don't have a ton of Godzilla 2019 or any legendary Godzilla in Sifubi form, so that's A, great. That would have been maybe like intrigue enough. But the colorway is gorgeous. I love this colorway. And also, this thing was sculpted by Masami Yamada, and the Marmot president himself, Akamatsu-san, he did the painting. I mean, they are taking true artisans that have a dynasty, that's the name, I think, these amazing like who's who, and they're having them craft things that we haven't seen in this beautiful colorway. Oh my God, I'm so excited for this. And yeah, I can't wait for this thing to come out.
Yeah, I had an alarm set for this, there was a little bit of issues with the website, but yes. I did that thing like buying toys online, especially for somebody who's like a Mondo, buying stuff from Mondo. You always think like, I have to buy this in 5 seconds or it's going to sell out. So I was like panicking at work, pick this thing up. And it kind of annoys me that there's still some left because it's such a cool toy.
It probably annoys them too.
Yeah, probably. Sure. Probably.
But yeah, they only did 200. And I think for not what I've heard from my total unofficial poll, talking to some folks that did not pick this up, but I would have thought would have, they're like, the reason we aren't is this right here. Because we're getting this one that's coming out next because they wanted this colorway. Yeah, somebody's going to collect 19 of these, 19 and 19s. This one looks pretty awesome, too. I was only going to get one and wait for every one of their like different the Godzillas that they do, but I'm going to have to get this one, too.
Yeah, that's a good
look at that one.
Toy.
That looks so
it's
good.
Pretty sweet, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the crazy thing about these guys, because not only are they really are making a big splash in the Sifubi world, you know, they didn't forget Spiral Studios. They also released from their legacy series, the 91 King Ghidorah. This thing is freaking 50 inches long, 57 inches wide. The pre-order is already out there. They're only doing 199 of these, $1,700. Tanaka Studios is doing it. They've done a couple of their legacy series.
Did you get one?
I did not get this one. No, I do have my first Spiral Studios. Should be coming soon. I did get the GMK. Did get the GMK Godzilla. So I wanted to get a Godzilla first. Before I start going down that rabbit hole, and also space, I mean, I'm struggling to find, you know, space for like US toys. How am I going to find a 57 inch King Ghidorah? Yeah. But this looks beautiful. It really does.
Yeah. I feel like 91 Ghidorah doesn't get enough love. I like Heisei Ghidorah.
Me
Those
too.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That and Mecha. Agreed. And then they're like, okay, you know what? Like, yeah, we just released this pre-order. Boom, another one from their MonsterVerse line. They did the 2019 Adult Mothra, the Mystical That's Edition. Cool. Yeah, and with the destroyed city was the Battle of Boston. Yep. I think they've done a few of these. This thing looks really great, and the cool thing about this, if you look in the bottom to the far left of that graphic, you get a custom print.
That's awesome. Nice.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Hey, maybe next time, John, the next Kaiju go, I can have you and Yuji Kaida. That'd be the next one. But that's
I'm
the way you go
it.
From Bob into Yuji. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, Brayton, I agree with you here. Where the heck do you put it? Especially those that live. I don't have this problem because we live in Texas where there's a lot of room. But like those living in, you know, San Francisco or Manhattan where like space is at a premium. Yeah. Like I don't know. I mean, you need like a storage unit for it.
Then it's your roommate.
I know. It really is. Yeah, I'm living with King Ghidorah and Mothra this year. But this one, hey, this one is only like 25 inches wide, but it is almost 60 inches tall because of the tower and everything.
Whew.
But yeah, so dude, AJ and them must be working like late every night because they have three giant releases. Between Artisan Dynasty and Spiral Studios. Just crazy stuff, man. It's a great time to be a collector, regardless of what you like.
So it's too much.
Yeah, it's too much, man.
I hate
payment plans.
Hey, I hate that I love Sifubi. I hate it because it's like, what's the most expensive toy hobby you can have? Oh, Kaiju.
Yeah.
Just is. Everything. It's whenever a Sifubi comes out and it's considered cheap if it's $200.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
And there's like more than 50 of them.
Yeah.
More than 50 mass produced. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know, man. Was a few more things. Of course, you know, it's every week. It's a tradition. We haven't gone a YHS on Monster Island episode in like 2 years without mentioning something new from Marisan because they do a freaking pop-up salon like every day, it feels like. So we got some new lottery figures from one of the pop-ups at the Smile Bar there in Asakusa with the 450 series we got. All of these are going to be the Cherry Blossom variant, and all of them glow in the dark. And they just did the three. They did the 450, 74, and they did the 350s. They did the 95 and the Hedera. But I just thought it was cool. They went with like a theme. They did all the releases there. All the lottery figures are going to be that very popular Sakura Mocha or the Night Blossom. The Cherry Blossom glow in the dark. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah. I think we might have get a couple of these in for Tokyo Toy Town, I think. Okay, so just a couple one-offs. I thought these are some quirky releases. I don't know if you guys saw from the Japan Festival. This is over on toyartgallery.com, the Zenzilla. These things are hilarious. They're great. It's from an Australian company, Kaio Toyko, and they're awesome. They're only $35. They have a couple variants. A couple have sold out already. But if you want to pay the shipping from Australia, you can get it from their site directly. But if you don't, Toy Art Gallery, they're great. I thought these were real fun and quirky. And then our good buddies over at US Toys did a partnership with Graveyard Gallery. They released these three. I just love the colors of these, of the Gomez and the Goro and the Naranga. These sold out in like a second. Because now they offer US shipping on Graveyard. And so it's like, man, like everybody buys them. So check your secondary market. But I thought these were just really, really cool colorways.
Well, dude, you know what I think about U.S. toys.
Yes.
Every single toy they make is the best toy I've ever seen until they make a new one.
I know, right? And just think, like, we got to get you, Jake. I know the one, I don't want to say issue, but, you know, you wish they weren't 3 inches tall, right? We got to get you on their shampoo series, which are the 5 or 6 inch ones, because those are awesome.
Hey, find me some, and I'll buy some at Tokyo Toy Town.
Yeah, they're the same aesthetic. They're a little chunkier, but the same paint apps and stuff. They're great.
Yeah, I'm down.
Oh, and look, and the great Chaz Foreman of Chaz Bro Toys agrees with you, so it must be gospel. But yeah, I thought these are some cool releases. And then we got to talk. We do talk Bandai on here. And from Shin Ultraman, from the movie Monster series, they released Goga or Kaigal, depending on if you use the Japanese version. They released Mammoth Flower and Larugius. So these vinyls will be hitting shelves in October, I believe. Mm-hmm. And these are like, you know, they're the normal like 6 or 7 inch, a 6 inch scale. But, you know, when you're talking wingspan, you're talking like 13 inches or something. I think Mammoth Flower is like 12 inches tall or something. These are bigger than you think, but they're still in that kind of 6 to 7 inch scale.
Nice. Those are cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm excited that they didn't stop with just like, we'll do Shin Ultraman and the main ones, like even the ones that were just cameoed at the beginning are now getting toys. Yeah. So great.
Yeah.
Because idiots like us buy them. Let's see what else we got. Okay, speaking of stuff that nobody's going to buy. Look, Jake and I, if you listen to our show, we are overly positive about most films in the Kaiju. We give everything a chance, right? Even like Daigoro versus Goliath. But there are a few films that each of us have that's like, nope, can't go there. Famously, I can't stand Godzilla versus Megaguirus and hate it. The only one that rivals it is Rebirth of Mothra 2. And as much as I love this design in toy form, I hate that movie. So I can't get this. This is a great toy, though.
I'll fucking buy this thing.
It's a great.
Look how dumb it is. Of course I want it. Well,
I might have to get this. I think it looks awesome.
It does. I know. I'm torn. I'm like, ugh. I will not have anything Mega Gears in here. I just don't know if I can have a Dagra in here. But it looks really good. I thought they did. Yeah. I mean, Monster Arts does good stuff. I get it. But and maybe, John, you can get this and put it with your Final Four Singular Point Jaguar, and you can start a little Monster Arts collection.
No, I'll start doing stop motion animation is what I'll do.
Probably. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever you do, it'll be better than Rebirth of Mothra too. and then I love that it comes with a little 2-inch Gogo, mm-hmm. whatever his name is. I always say Gorgo, like that guy who is, you know, the highlight of that movie, I guess. Oh, I don't know. Besides the credits. Yes. But I had to mention this because I was like, you know, I did not have that on my bingo card when I woke up that they were going to be releasing this guy. I'm like, okay, who wants
Yeah, it seems like a weird choice for Monster Arts. It's not their kind of thing, but
yeah,
all right.
Nah, maybe it's like everything's cyclical. Maybe it's the resurgence. It's like how the Star Wars prequels are more beloved now. Maybe Rebirth of Mothra 2. I need to rewatch it. Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, that's all we got for toy news. So I think it's almost time, almost time to talk Ultraman. But first, now we can talk Ultraman because we have to have more Gilala. I had that thing stuck in my head literally after Jake and I reviewed that movie for like 6 months. I'd just be walking around and be going, Nasikoma, Nasikoma. Jake, so
yeah.
Did you watch the final season?
Fuck no, dude. I've been in London.
TVs in London.
Hey, not at our hotel.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna leave you guys to it. I just wanted to hop in and say hi, and I saw you guys were talking about toys, so I was like, let me jump in here real quick. But yeah, I haven't seen this yet, so I'm gonna hop out.
Before you go though,
sure.
Did you have any toy pickups?
No. That's another thing I couldn't find in London. Were toys?
You didn't have toys in London.
No toys. I don't have any, but I did. Jay, I picked up. It was early. It was like 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. I woke up. I got on eBay, and I found. I'm not going to. I've been trying really hard to not tell you what I found on eBay. But I got some cool things, and they're things that I've been looking for a while, and have never seen for sale, and just happened to find two different listings on eBay, and I bought them immediately. It was like 5 a.m. and I'm on eBay like buying kaiju stuff. So
I hope nice. What I'm thinking is what it is.
I don't know when they're gonna arrive.
Okay.
But I was like, I was just chuckling to myself in a hotel trying not to wake up Craig and Abby because I just bought some Godzilla toys.
And answer me this: is it something that was featured on your top 10 list?
Yeah. Sure.
Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh,
I always love top 10. I love it, man. Well, dude, thanks for hopping in.
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to. Yeah, I'm glad
you're welcome
you guys
on YHS on Monster Island anytime, bud.
Yes, come on back.
Thanks for the show.
Hey, thanks for Ryan, John. Thanks for jumping in and doing this.
Always a pleasure.
I did Toy Anxiety last night, but I only did toy. I was not going to do Toy Anxiety. Well, I got home yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to do Toy Anxiety, but I kind of got guilted into it because we had to reveal this.
Congratulations, by the way.
And yeah, I'm the only one awesome. Who's got it. Craig didn't have. Craig doesn't have one. So I was like, oh, I guess I have to do Toy Anxiety so I can announce these nice. Turtles.
Dude, that is so cool, though.
Such an honor, man.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's ridiculous. I can't understand. It's been all – it's so funny. Like, all day today, Ryan and Craig have been sending me like screenshots of me holding this box on like on all these toy, you know, Instagrams and shit like that. It's weird. But
badass, dude.
But yeah, dude, I'm gonna leave you guys to it. Jay, let me know when you guys are done.
Will do.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Later, man.
All right, later, man. Dude.
Maybe. There we go. Alrighty, let's talk some Ultraman, dude. Let's talk some Ultraman. Let's talk Ultraman anime on Netflix season 3, the final season. But real quick, I want to ask you guys, before, ignore just the anime, just Ultraman in general. Like, what are y'all's histories with, like, the property as a whole?
Do you want to go first, Ryan?
Please, go for it, sir.
All right, so I kind of slowly over time found my way into all this stuff. When I was a kid, I watched the American version of Kamen Rider when they did Masked Rider, which I didn't know any better that it was terrible at the time. I was just like, oh, cool. It's like a bug dude on a bike. Sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ectophase Activate is a that was like his transformation phrase. And I was like, he said Ecto. But I can, you know, confidently say that, you know, Henshin is far, far more fun and cooler than Ectophase Activate. So there was that. And then there was Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, which I was also very into. And that was the one that I gravitated more toward and I thought was really, really cool. And I loved the designs and everything. And I remember over the years, as I was growing up, I like, you know, once the internet was a thing, which saying that makes me feel really old, but I would go on and be like, oh, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Like, let me learn more about that or see if there's anywhere I can watch it. And then just kind of becoming aware of like, oh, it's from a show called Gridman, kind of like Power Rangers was from Super Sentai. And then learning that there were all these other things. And then I kind of learned about Ultraman. And so finally, after just kind of bouncing around and being like, oh, I should dig more into that at some point. Over the course of the pandemic, that was when a lot of like, that was like when I finally was like, all right, well, I got time. I might as well finally look at all the things that I've been putting off looking at. So that was really when I dove all the way into just tokusatsu in general and rewatched a lot of Godzilla stuff, watched the original Gridman, watched the Gridman anime when that was coming out.
Did you revisit Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills?
I did not.
That one is even better than Gridman and then 100%.
And then I finally started watching a lot of Ultraman and Kamen Rider. Since then I have just like I said, it's tricky because so many of them are just subtitled, but I've, you know, the ones that are dubbed, I've sat down and watched those and had a lot of fun with them. And I've watched a few of the subtitled ones. I love it. It's a lot of fun. And even as the show has evolved from like the original iteration, it's so cool to see how each series has not just figured out ways to connect to each other, but on its own kind of figured out like, okay, what makes Ultraman Ultraman? And kept the core of that and then built a new show around it, a new story around it with new characters and stuff. So I love it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
How about you, Ryan?
So I too am a product of the mid 80s, right? So I watched all of those 90s US based versions and was totally obsessed. I have some cousins that are significantly older than me that live in Ohio. So I would go up home during Christmas and hang out with them. And they were huge Godzilla and Ultraman marks. I'm talking, it was on all the time. So I would think that I was watching the same thing back home. And I would go and get a whole new education, right? And be like, whoa, the kaiju up in Ohio are so much better, you know? And my friends were like, you're crazy,
there's
dude.
No Amy Jo Johnson, what?
It blew my mind, right? That they were different, but kind of the same, but way different. Then later on, I got hardcore into it. And then kind of like you, though, John, when COVID happened and everything shut down, I was like, all right, I'm getting back into watching the movies so much more seriously. You know, I started with a keen studying eye.
Yeah.
And yeah, that just merged the fandom of the toys that I was already like, you know, baptized in with that again. And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, needless to say, you guys have seen a few Ultraman things.
A few. Yeah.
Now, did you
kind of like it?
Did you read the manga that the Netflix anime was based off of?
No. I did not.
I didn't either. I didn't know.
I want to. I've seen since it started. I've been like, yo. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, this is from a manga. And I saw the artwork of the manga and I was like, this looks fantastic. Like the artwork is great. So every time I go to a bookstore, I check to see if they have it. And I want to make sure I start with one because I want to jump in from the beginning and just experience that form of the story.
And it's still going, right, John?
I think so. Last I checked, I think it was. Yeah. But I always end up seeing like a volumes from the middle of the run on the shelves when I go to stores, and I'm like, I could, but if I buy this, I know I'm not just going to take it home and put it on the shelf and be like, I'll wait till I have one and then catch up to it. So I'm just like, I'm not buying anything until I can find a copy of number one. So
yeah, and I don't,
but
and I don't
it's
know
on
I
my just, list.
You know, just because of what I've read about similarities and differences between that and the series, it might be good to like let this, you know, maybe forget a little bit about the anime so you're not just doing that side by side comparison and then kind of start it, you know, in a year from now. I haven't read it either, but it does. The artwork is great. It looks really good. But you know what? It needs a John Yerkeba cover. So on the Netflix series, so season one seems like it was so long ago. It was pre-pandemic.
2019.
Yeah. What the heck?
Man.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts? First off, did you guys rewatch season one and two before three?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Okay, good. I assumed because, you know, we're crazy. But what were your what were your thoughts on one and two? Like just broad strokes.
Oh man. I think season one to me was kind of the because the Ultraman franchise seemed so daunting. And I think, you know, it was pretty clear that this was doing its own thing as far as like we're picking up after the original series and kind of existing in its own universe. So I remember the first time I watched it kind of having that feeling of like, oh, OK, this will be a cool. It's kind of like to go back to Gundam. It's like when you watch it on Toonami and you're a kid, they showed you Gundam Wing and that's its own contained universe. That's not a part of the storylines that have been going since, you know, the 70s. So you were able to like get in and get a taste of what Gundam is and enjoy it. And then from there be like, oh, I want to go check out this other stuff. Yeah. And so I remember like in a lot of ways, especially as they introduced the other characters, that was my first real taste of like, oh, okay. So we got this guy and Taro and Seven and all that other stuff. And so it was kind of my Ultraman crash course in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it was fun to like, I was aware that there were some differences in terms of like, oh, he doesn't get big like the original Ultraman, but for what it was, it kind of like for me laid the groundwork of familiarization with some of the core concepts of everything. Yeah. Yeah.
What about season two?
Season two, man, there was some stuff that I really liked about season two.
Yeah.
And then I remember my first reaction. Like I remember watching it and then getting to episode six and then not having an episode seven and being like, wait, what?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. What's wrong with my Netflix?
Right. Cause the first season was,
I subscribe.
Yeah. So I just remember kind of like, that was when I'm not going to sit here and like trash the show at all, but like it just, I needed more, you know what I mean? Yeah. I wanted more, I needed more, and I wasn't going to get it in such a short length. And so, not to skip ahead, but I was very happy that season three went back to a longer length. But yeah, season two had some fun moments. I really loved that they introduced some new characters. But if I had to rank them, I think season two would definitely be last. Yeah.
How about you, Ryan?
Oh, man. This is going to be fun. Okay. So... season one, I went into with zero expectation. You know, I was like, I'm going to watch a really cool anime. I dig the artwork. I love Ultraman. This is going to be awesome. First episode, I love. Second episode is cool. Third episode, right on, we're building. And then my Showa bias kind of started to show up a little bit. And I stopped watching it and I started watching Showa Ultraman. And then I had to go back. This is like when I first found it, right? Yeah. And then I went back and forth and back and forth and I couldn't really develop a flavor. I mean, it took forever for season two to happen. Season two hit, and I already kind of didn't know if I liked it. Six episodes, and I was like, wow, they're already walking out. This is over. Yeah. This is done. Like, I don't understand why they can't just finish telling the story with the passion that I think it started with.
Yeah.
Then season three happened, and I have a different take on that. But I love season one now.
Yeah. So I awesome. I thought it was a cool concept of doing kind of that legacy sequel where it's like you take most of the first, like the original 66 happened, like not all of it, but like at least like up until like the battle with Zetton and stuff. And, and then none of the other Ultra series are, you know, happen. And then we basically get here. And, I thought that was cool. I thought that was neat. And I really liked, it didn't bother me about like the no fighting giant kaiju. I liked it. It was kind of like, yes, there's obviously global consequences, but it was still like, it felt very small and like, and a very kind of small scale issue with like, I loved how they used Dada as Agent ADAT. I loved all that on the Star Cluster Council. I thought it was cool, right? And I really liked season one, but I think for it to like, after a week or so after watching, like, hey, I really like that, I kind of forgot about it because there wasn't something on the horizon, right? And then like, I didn't watch season two until recently because I was just like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. It's six episodes. Like, nothing's going to happen. It's done. Like, I can catch it, you know, whatever. And then when season three, when I found out it was coming, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to watch season two now. Season two, to me, I agree with both of you guys. It, to me, it felt like in a season, it feels like a two-parter, you know, like a two-parter. I do like some parts of it. It's kind of the whole time I'm thinking, he gets a suit. He gets an Ultraman suit. Everybody gets an Ultraman suit.
Let's make the Avengers of Ultraman.
Yeah, right. But yeah. Do it quickly. But, you know, I liked their portrayal of King Joe. I love King Joe, the Golden Fortress. That was cool. And there were definitely nuggets that were really good. But it was just kind of like, that wasn't the follow-up I needed of the first one. It didn't feel like they were, it felt like they were distant cousins. It did not feel like it was a continuation of season one. And that was my biggest thing. I was like, now it's just kind of like a straightforward, like action anime boom. I think Chaz kind of nailed it. It felt very, very Men in Black. I agree. But you know, hey, the good news is that we were able to get a final season despite season two. And so that's all that matters. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend the 13-6-12 episode release over 4 years. No, let's not do that again. So on to season three. Now we don't recap things. Like, we're not going to go plot point by plot point. We love to talk kind of generalities in here. So first off, overall thoughts, just were you glad or happy with the overall feel and tone and what season three delivered? I know that's a loaded question, but overall, like when you finished episode 12, were you like more in your season two mindset or were you more in your season one mindset?
Oh, I was, Ryan, I was 100%.
Ryan, we'll go with you.
More season one.
Okay.
I had a positive vibe. There were things that I couldn't shake, you know. I don't know. There's some stuff when I'm watching it, I'm like, why is Ultraman Iron Man? And there are things that like really I just have a hard time letting go of, but I dug it way more than season two.
How about you, John?
Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed it a lot more than season two. I think it was easier for me to get into just the what it had done with Ultraman. And there, I will admit that there were a couple times, especially because he's kind of having these like flashbacks and his dad's a lot more tied into the story. And you get the sense that this power is building in him throughout the season. So in the back of my head, I was waiting for that moment where like, oh, something giant is going to show up and then he is actually going to grow bigger, which never happens. But I was more okay with just that, you know, okay, this is the version of Ultraman we're getting. It did make that, like, as you're getting to the end and they're having the big fight, it was kind of like, okay, so instead of just one big Ultraman, we're going to throw a whole bunch of tiny ones at this problem and have it work out, which is fine. Like it kind of in a weird way reminded me of Smallville, where by the time you get to the 10th season, it's like, you know, he's going to become Superman, but they literally do not let you see him in the suit in any clear way until like the last frame. And even then it's just a shirt rip. So it's like, I think because of maybe my trauma with that show and their whole like no flights and no tights kind of rule, I was just like, okay, if this is Ultraman's version of no flights, no tights, I will accept it and try to enjoy it for what it is. But you know, I enjoyed it a lot. I had a lot of fun with it, especially, you know, I felt like it kept me on my toes. I really, there were absolutely moments throughout it where I was like, wait, was he okay? If he wasn't, then how did, what's going on here? And then especially the final fight, like once that kicks in, I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I always think it's interesting when they do the group fight against the big and scale bad, the 3D printed version of Zetton. And then the final one is actually like with like the Zetonian, you know, with Ido, like it's Ido, and it's like this kind of almost like the one-on-one, like not, no, it's not one-on-one, but like the smaller is the actually the more powerful bad, the boss. And it's always an interesting thing. But so let's do a little compliment sandwich. We got to do a little compliment sandwich for season three. So Ryan, what was one of the things, it can be about the characters, it can be about overall just broad level themes. What was something that you really did like? You did like, it was a good one. A thumbs up from Ryan Wilhelm.
The theme of Ultraman's light and like him being able to overcome and really be the hero. Like, I love that element. It's a very basic but very honest part of Ultraman. Mm-hmm. And you asked earlier, like, does this harken to the theme of the Showa? Not entirely, but I do think when it does really well. And I think there are cool points in season three that I was really hooked on and like, I want more, right? Mm-hmm. Whether or not we'll get it, hey, who knows? Yeah. But yeah, that's for me. It's all about the light, baby.
Yeah. How about you, John? What was something that you really, really, really did dig about season three?
I am a sucker for, this is kind of a tradition across tokusatsu and across a lot of things, but the mid-season upgrade, and like whenever heroes get new suits and new designs and new power sets and everything. And so I was a very, very, very big fan of not just, you know, early on when he gets the new upgrade from his normal suit, but then especially, you know, in the end when he kind of becomes like the final form of Ultraman. I thought that as soon as I saw that, I was like, I need that toy. I need that action figure. So
I'm with you on that.
I love the designs in the show for sure.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I love how they did like they even teased it early with the test suit, in which that was actually part of kind of the plot as well. You know, it was, you know, given to him, you know, an urge for him to test it as a way that they could be able to track him. For me, I thought one thing that was cool was, you know, I thought it was a subtle, but a really good kind of twist on Ito's motivation to be kind of the main bad. It was like, we want to give the humans in the Star Cluster Council, like we want Earth to be part of it. But Ultraman, you know, the savior of Earth and stuff, is so rogue that he'll deal his own sort of justice. We can't control that, right? Like everybody has to be kind of neutral. Nobody can be necessarily more powerful than and do their own thing. That's how you kind of gain entry. And so it's like, it goes back to the old adage of when you can understand and sympathize with the villain, it makes them a better villain. When you understand their reasoning and their rationale, and you kind of see it, right? You kind of like, okay, yeah, like he views Ultraman as a hindrance, but not necessarily towards a bad aim. Like they want, you know, it's not like they want to take over Earth and control everybody. It's like, we want him part of it, but we can't have that guy. And then obviously the humans have a different take on it. And I thought the whole, like, basically the smear campaign of Ultraman throughout the whole series, like leading up to it, I thought it was well done. And I thought it kind of came to a head. Now, yes, it kind of ended up being like, I'm going to tell you my whole reason for my plan in this last, you know, in the last, on the roof, you know, it's like, okay, here it is.
Right.
But I actually thought that was good. I was like, oh yeah, I wasn't shocked that he turned out to end up being part of the bad guy, but to have it more, when I'm like, oh yeah, it kind of makes sense. That's kind of cool. That was unexpected. So that was something that I really did like. Okay. What was something, and I'll start with you, John, what was something that really, like, if you had to tell them, hey guys, like we need to ixnay that or redo, like something that really just didn't sit with you well?
Oh man. I think of what I would have liked to focus a little bit more in one direction or the other, as far as like you've got the storyline of, you know, is he destroying stuff? Is it a duplicate? What's going on? And that's really interesting. I like that a lot. And then it kind of feels like it switches gears to get to what was the actual ending. And if I don't know if there would have been a way to like have those two things be more of like, it's all part of one big plan, but maybe more of a better balance of that would have been good for me.
I think that's 100% behind that. How about you, Ryan?
Ultra 7.
Were you reading this?
Dude, I was reading it and I'm like, I agree with you, Chaz, 100%, bro. It's like, listen, like, what an amazing character. He's supposed to be dark and not take any crap. And like, I'm with that. But then there's a couple episodes that he's like down to be on the team and like, dude, and I get it, but it's kind of like,
it's very different. Yeah. The more Eboshi character is very different in the sense like Dan, like, yeah, he calls it like he sees it in the Showa era, the original Dan, but like, he's not an ass.
No, that's
like a total jerk.
This guy, like, he wants to be Team Ultraman, but he doesn't want to play with Ultraman. It's like, wait, exactly.
It was, I don't know if there would have been, I don't know if there could have been any of Ultraman that could have played that role. It's almost like you'd have to have a new character to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that was, and as an Ultra, like, Ultra 7's my favorite. Like, you know, like, it's just, that wasn't how I wanted him to betray, but you know, hey, I wasn't the one creating the story. Dude, but
but when he was slicing and dicing and doing his thing, I mean, come on.
That was great.
Parts of the character, the action parts of him, you're right. Like, I love that he used the sword, but as kind of a proxy for, you know, how he just decapitates everybody in the series. Like, I love that. And it was kind of cool to see, like, this kind of skinny, nerdier asshole.
Yeah. Go there and we got representation.
It was Ryan Wilhelm as Ultra 7 as Dan Moriboshi. Who knew? Who knew?
Maybe I do like him more than I thought. I don't know.
No, I definitely agree, though. It feels like they – because that's been a character archetype in a lot of different things where you have the one guy who starts off as kind of a mentor and a hard ass, but then as the mentee kind of comes into their own, then they kind of step back and be like, I knew you had it in you. And it feels
proud
like Dan,
of you.
It feels like Dan never really steps into that mode. And so it kind of feels like, oh, he didn't quite get there.
And he's teed up, you know, but he never.
And it's weird because, you know, as he kind of becomes the new head of the SSP and like it's SSP, excuse me. It's like you don't really. That's like he's still too much of a hard ass. Like he needs to like.
Yeah.
It's OK for him to be tough, but like he had to show the vulnerable side.
If he had gotten there all the way, it would have been perfect. Cause then it's like, not only did he push, you know, he pushed him to be his best, but he is also now in charge. And it's like, they've earned that dynamic now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he needed some Ann Yuri. I think maybe Dan just needs Ann and they should have brought, he should have brought Nurse Ann in there. I had like a lot of my negatives were very like minor, but there were quite a few of them. And like, that's, it's still overall very good. But one of the things I thought, like, it spurred out of, like, something that I think is one of the strongest points, but I think how they handled it kind of after the initial unveiling was not great. So Ultra Woman, mother of Ultra Man Marie, whatever you want to call her, Reina Sayama, like, when she was figured out to be the fourth Ultra person that can use the Giant of Light power, I love that. I loved how they, like, you know, she's not a trained fighter, so like I loved a lot of her ultra moves were kind of staying in the background, in you know, which makes sense, was more logical. I just felt like they should have introduced her earlier because we needed kind of more of that, because it just felt like it was a last act, like we're gonna turn her and then she does like one or two battles the end, like let's explore that more. And even like I loved how they did the flashbacks to get to the backstory. I love that, don't get me wrong, but I just felt like there could have been like two episodes around that, and
that's I 100% agree. And when they did that kind of stuff and they got deep into the flashbacks and of seeing like what happened after the original series, that's the kind of stuff that like it's like I said, I liked both aspects of like the different threats that they had in this season, but I almost wish if they couldn't find a way to balance both of them that they would have leaned hard into one or hard into the other. And that was something that I was like, oh, I want more of this. Like this kind of thing could have been the whole season. And then you could have taken the like, wait, which Ultraman is which? And then like had that be its own season kind of thing. If they like stretched it out and leaned into it more.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What were some of the other things that you guys liked? I'm just random. I should throw out some stuff. I'll tell you one thing I liked. I thought the score and the music throughout all three seasons was excellent. Intros, outros, during the episodes, I thought it was excellent.
Agreed. 100%. I'm a big fan of the animation style. I don't think that gets enough love. I think it's really cool. It stands on its own foot. You know, it's very unique, but it's still kind of around what is popular right now. You know, yeah. I think it's really rad.
I'm not an expert to speak on that, like that you guys know more about anime and animation than I do on that front. But I will say, like, one thing I did notice, I really did like the animation during the fight scene specifically.
Yes.
I thought not only was like the framing of the shot, like it was a lot of like you could see everything. It wasn't that kind of like close quarter, shaking. Like where you can just see you can see two things. I thought it was really good. I thought the choreography on the fights were great. And so I really did dig the animation, especially during those scenes.
It felt like a cutaway in a lot of times in like a game or something, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. I really liked the I just had a brain fart. What do I like about what are we talking about?
Ultraman.
Yeah.
And Kamen Rider.
Yeah. I'm Ryan.
No, I love the music, I love the animation, I love the voice acting. I thought the voice acting was really good. I thought everybody for what role they played and what they what they were asked to do, I thought it was really well done. I never felt like anyone was like, oh, that was really flat or anything like that. So I enjoyed that a lot for sure.
What about on that front? So I agree with you. I thought the voice actors earned their money. They did a great job. Everything kind of fit with who was talking. I think it wasn't that weird, like, that's the voice that's coming out of them.
Exactly.
What I did feel though, in season one and season two, I didn't notice it, but in season three, I felt like it was a little bit, the dialogue was a little more kind of a riff on tokusatsu dialogue, where it was like kind of a little cheesy and straightforward. And this is the dubbed version on the dubbed version.
Yeah.
I felt it was a little bit, as opposed to where I thought season one played it a little bit more kind of straight than season three. That there was some kind of that weird, like the weird responses to things that like didn't quite line up and fit. And I was like, that was weird. It didn't like take me out of the series, but I felt it did degrade from season one, which I thought was actually really good.
Overall, it's funny that you say it reminded you of tokusatsu, because I felt like overall season three, something about the vibe of it, just it felt like, obviously it's very heightened and it's a little more gritty and a little more serious, but the core of it, the basics of what was happening on screen, it felt like it had more of a tokusatsu feel. It had more of like I could see a version of this being done in live action and having the vibe, you know?
Yeah, for sure. What did you guys think of all, so I know we talked about Dan. So what did you guys think about their representations of some of the other Ultraman and other Showa era folks? So, I mean, obviously Ide and Arashi, from the original Ultraman were in there, but as far as like how they treated and kind of reimagined Taro and Ace and Ultraman Jack, and I was curious what your kind of initial thoughts overall on those guys were. And Bimular and Shin Hayata and another other ones. Uh-oh. And Yapul.
Listen, I might be the odd man out here. I really enjoyed everybody's, but I came into this show, like I said, knowing like this is its own thing. And so it didn't necessarily bother me, because when I got into this show, I didn't have as strong of an attachment to Ultraman. And now that I have been watching more and more of it and seeing the shows that these characters are based on, it's okay for me to kind of be like, oh, these are completely different, but they're two different things. It's like a multiverse. It's like, oh, well, in this universe, Seven is like this and Ace is like this. And so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all of them for what they were, for sure.
Okay, Ryan, let us have it.
All I'm going to say, man, is if you like Kool-Aid, this is just a different flavor of Kool-Aid. You know, it's like,
it's still Kool-Aid.
It's still Kool-Aid. I get your point, and I can agree with that. I won't be the old man on the front lawn saying, give me my show up. But like, to me, Bimular is the one that I'm like, I have the hardest time with. I don't know why, really, but I just.
it's funny. Of all of them, I didn't mind the Bimular.
And that's what everyone says to me. And I don't know why I'm so hearkened on that. I
thought there was something about like, him, you know, because obviously they tie it into not the looks and stuff, but like, you know, I'm the first enemy and everything, like all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
I felt like there's that connection, which you always feel during watching the show. You're like, I just, even though he's not referenced, like you just feel that there's that connection to Bimular because that was kind of how he got to Earth, right? You know, that,
yeah.
that chase.
Character wise, love it.
Yeah.
It's my complaint and my whole grunging moment there, if you will. That's all aesthetic problems. I'm yeah. just like, dude, you're supposed to be like this crazy dwarf, yeah. like dinosaur thing. Like, I don't hate it though. It's not for me, but I don't yeah. hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. The only one that kind of bothered me. And like I said, I'm not a, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't always have to be like the original source material. I'm okay with like totally redoing things. I do like it if they make big changes. Like there's some, like the spirit of them are like honoring the kind of something that they represented. And I thought the biggest miss, even more than Dan, maybe, I really think maybe even more than Ultra 7 was Ultraman Jack. I thought because
okay.
if you watch Return of Ultraman, you know, he's really one of the more flawed Ultramen, and like mm-hmm. he makes the most like mistakes in his like, you know, non ultra form. And I just felt like if anything, he's the guy that like you almost know the most about. Like it's like you yeah. just feel like there's just I don't know, almost you have the more human connection to him
yeah.
than you do Dan, than you do Shin Hayata. And in this, he's the one you know the least about. I mean, he's just yeah. like the mystery man. And I thought like that didn't represent that character to me, and it yeah. just was like that was the name. I didn't mind yeah. the character. I just wish that character was like Ultraman Bob, you know, like somebody
just, right, just someone new.
Nothing wrong with the character. Just like I had a little bit of a hard time like doing the connect. Like there were less parts of them that connected to the original source material for that one than like even Dan, even asshole Dan.
Totally fair.
Yeah, but that was like the only one. The other ones like Ace and Taro. I thought they did a really. He might have been the most in-depth character of all the side Ultramen was Taro. Ultraman Taro.
I was surprised.
For sure. Yeah, Taro? For sure.
And Ace, they did a little bit of deep diving on that backstory and stuff. And I love
yeah.
some of the stuff with like Yapool and stuff. And
yeah, that was cool. I love the father-son connection kind of
yeah, thing. Yeah. I thought they did a good job of like making all of the Ultramen very different backgrounds yeah. and all that good stuff. I just like, to me, I was like, at what point are we going to get like the episode that really dives deep into Jack and we never get it? Like he's the one
Yeah. Oh man, I would have loved like, you know, pie in the sky, like this show goes on for even more seasons, but it would have been so cool to have almost like season to season, you could hop around to like each Ultraman, like it can still focus on the main one, but then each season kind of is like, oh, but this storyline focuses mainly on Dan and mainly on Jack and mainly on Ace and all that kind of stuff.
But yeah, they needed like one-offs, like they truly like just almost yeah. like a... Yeah, I mean, like bonus content. Like, let's give
yeah.
my 30-minute episode.
So that way, even then, that way, by the time you get to the end and it's all of them fighting together, like you're even more invested in each of them, even if they're not yeah. all being the main character.
Yeah, it's like not. I mean, it's like not a side character. It's like a
yeah.
somebody that you know, and it's they're all ultra men. It's like, come on,
yeah, all right, exactly,
ultra people, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, what did you guys think of? Speaking of side characters getting their time in the sun. What did you think about the post-credit scene? In the bar with kind of like Adad and Valky and oh, Alien Zara was the star of the show. That guy was right. Like, I don't know, my brother was gonna die. I love that guy. And which is so funny because like just watching how they portray him in like in Shin Ultraman, where he's like kind of just a puppet of Mephiles or Mephisto yeah. in this one. Like I just thought that once again he's just kind of a pawn. And then the I forgot was it Maya in the second season that we thought she was dead. She came back in the post credit scene. I forgot. But anyway, what'd y'all think of the post credit scene? I was not expecting that, almost like setting up for like some side quest and a side adventure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, to go from like you had a really solid season one, and then season two was like, and then you get season three, it's like, okay, yeah, this is what I was wanting.
Yeah,
but you're kind of going into it knowing like, but this is the last one, so I'll just be happy with what I got. But then they still tease you. It's like, come on, man, you know you're not gonna give me anything.
Yeah, I know, right? That would be really cool because almost it's like if they could do like a. Focusing on the other side, focusing on an alien yeah. contingent, like it would be amazing just to see kind of that yeah, side as opposed
absolutely.
To not even having Ultraman in it, you know,
yeah.
or plotting against them. I thought they did a really good job with Agent Adad. I thought he was one of my favorite people on the show. What else, guys? What else are we forgetting? What else is worth talking about? Do you know, we've talked about the animation. We talked about the score.
What about this? What about Hayata doing a little Zophie action?
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was like, interesting.
How do we, that's, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Now, did you think he was actually dead that final when he got stabbed through the – he was the one that got stabbed through the back, right?
No, he caught the explosion.
That's right. Yeah, that was Rena's dad that got stabbed in the back of the park with fake Ultraman Ace. Did y'all really think he was dead?
I did. Because like I said, I went into this and I was just like, hey, this is its own remix. This is its own thing. You know, none of these characters are necessarily sacred. Mm-hmm. You know, it's doing what it wants. So when that happened, I was just like, oh, they no. Yeah. Like it hit. And I was like, he's gone. And then so when he it kind of reminded me of The Dark Knight when you think Gordon's dead. Mm-hmm. And then when they catch Joker and then he reveals that he's not. I was just like, I legitimately thought Gordon was dead when I watched that movie. And so, yeah, it was the same here. I was like, they killed him. And then, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. That was one of the things that like kept me on the edge of my seat. Like, no, none of the rules. There's no rules here. This is great.
What are the rules?
I don't know what's gonna happen.
I need rules. Well, you know, it's funny, Mitch, one of the biggest criticisms that I read all the time on the series and about specifically season three was like, to your point, they're like, nothing's sacred, but yet like every Ultraman other than Bimular lived. Yeah. I thought at the time he was dead. I was like, okay, they got to kill off one of these guys. That one makes the most sense. It's the passing of the torch, like officially.
Exactly.
I mean, Shin's like should have been dead like six times already. Yeah. Like in this initial fight with Bimular, like he survives.
And especially to the point that like after he's dead, he starts meeting the other older members of the SSSP. Yeah. And so it's just like, okay, this like now they're kind of bringing in like, hey, since he's gone, we're going to come out and support you. So I was like, okay, like it fits that narrative of like if he's gone, there's new mentors showing up. And so like, I was sold on it.
Yeah, I know. And it's we're going to keep them all alive. Except Bimular. It's like the easiest one to kill off. maybe. But yeah, I was shocked. I mean, and I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I think it could have worked either way, but I just felt like that was great. And I was expecting, like you said, once we saw Arashi come in and that last season, I was like, okay, they definitely like, this is he's going to be the mentor. We're going to do it for dad type thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was expecting really to see Fuji and some of the other ones come in as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so yeah, I thought that was interesting move, but I did think he was dead. And then like, as we started getting a bit further and further and further on, I was like, they haven't like shown a body. They haven't really referenced in a ton.
That's
like,
true. Yeah.
Maybe he's coming back. So I have a question. Did you guys like, dislike, or was you indifferent to like all the, I'm going to say all the, it wasn't that much, but it seemed out of nowhere, get kind of gory. Like I think the alien, I forgot its name, that's based off of Balton when it was like, humans and stuff. I thought like it still fit with the aesthetic, especially everything they did kind of in Alien Town. It felt like gritty and like kind of no rules. Yeah. And I love that stuff. But I also heard that some of the complaints out there were that the more heavy violence and gore stuff kind of felt a little out of place, and it was because it wasn't done a ton, only in like a few select scenes, but it didn't bother me.
No, it didn't bother me either. I was okay with it. It didn't feel excessive. And I think they gave you just enough to sell that, like, oh, like this is getting serious now. You know what I mean? Yeah. As opposed to like some of the earlier stuff from previous seasons, it got serious, but it was never like deadly serious. And I think here they wanted you to know like, no, this is deadly serious. Yeah. Like he's getting carried away. And so to me, it was just enough to sell that.
Yeah. I thought it did enhance that character a lot too, that the Balton character. Okay. Yeah. Last thing, my last question here. Of all of the Kaiju Seijin from the original series that they brought back, I know a lot of them were kind of like influencer, you know, in an homage to, as opposed to just being straight up, you know, like Pigmon was the prince of the Igaru and stuff like that. But like of all those, which one was your not necessarily done the best, but which was your personal favorite? Besides Alien Zarb, because he's hilarious.
I mean, that was the one I was about to say.
Oh, you can say. I always go with Mephisto or Mephiles because I don't care what incarnation. I loved him in Shin Ultraman. He's one of my favorite Saiyan of all time because, like you said, he's even in this one a little bit. He's a little bit more kind of black and white bad guy, but like I love in the original series, like he's just kind of a dick. You know, like he's like, I'm gonna take Earth. I'm not gonna like. I just want to see if I can take over Earth just because. And I thought he was a really cool character and just kind of that lead into the big bosses to 3D printed Zetton and Ito. So I thought he was my favorite, but he's always gonna be my favorite. So I'm not saying he was the best, but he was definitely my favorite.
If I had to pick a different one, I'd probably. Don't hate me, Ryan, but I really enjoyed Bimular. Like I loved that, like all the way from season one, like he shows up and you're like, it's a bad guy. Yeah. It's not a bad guy. It's what's the relationship? And it just it always makes it interesting. And, and it's fun to like track him through the show and see like what his ultimate goals are and where he's coming from.
Yeah, I would say they did in season, not to go back to season one, but as far as like, I was sold that he destroyed that plane and I was trying to figure out what his motivation was, which, you know, I was this hook, line, and sinker, right? That's perfect. Watching how that I was supposed to. And like when they revealed that, I was truly like, oh, that's a real twist. And so I agree. I like the Bimular character. I would have loved to see his, without all the gear on, to see maybe his alien, maybe his full form had more of the Bimular we know and love, but I agree. I thought the especially the season one.
I was like, he was like, he can't take it. We're both saying good things about Bimular. He's out.
I know. He's like, I'm done. I'm assuming this is gonna be a little Bimular show and tell. Oh yeah, there we go. Well, you.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Bimular.
He would have been great in that colorway too.
Dude, I'm not asking for much. Cool. Huh? Like, you know, just.
Yeah, I mean, just rethink one of the main characters in our.
Just redo him. Just make him like this for me, you know, and I'll be like, I'll make you Ultraman, you know.
Oh, we got somebody joining. Hey, Dom, how's it going, man? This is Dom from the Monster Movies Funtime Go podcast. How's it going, dude? Man?
Howdy.
How's it going? Good dude. So we can wrap it up. I appreciate you guys coming and talking about Ultraman.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and
anytime.
And the Jake didn't even watch it yet, so I couldn't talk to him about it. but I do appreciate it. Now, John, I can't wait to see you in August. Ryan, well, I'll see you a lot before that, but I definitely will see you in July at G-Fest.
G-Fest, baby.
Ryan's going to be in the car for 16 hours with me. Actually, 32 hours because up and back, unless you don't plan on coming home.
I'm coming back.
Ryan, I'll see you, but excited to see you. We are so thrilled to have you, John, at Kaiju Go.
Thrilled to be a part of it, man.
I can't wait to just see you and Bob standing there, like just representing like a large part of the Godzilla art community. Like somebody that's John, obviously Bob has been doing it for a long time. And John, obviously you're just getting started on the Godzilla stuff. I know you're going to do a lot more than the handful of covers that you've done. And we are super pumped. And Ryan right there in the middle, ruining everything.
I can't wait.
And I know you're a busy man in between conventions and watching Shin Kamen Rider and talking to your dad who won the convention by going and finding you that model kit. So thank you for giving us some time today and filling in for Jake.
Man.
Big upgrade over Jake. Huge upgrade. and Ryan, you know you're an upgrade, but I do appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for the show, as always.
Yeah. And you know what?
It was an honor.
And I have to sign us out. I have to do a little bit more Gilala. All right, guys. I'll talk to everybody later. See you soon.
Later, guys.